Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Paul Lacoutis, and Paul has been with the Wanderer, has been writing for this. It's very conservative, independent Catholic newspaper. Paul, are you still with the Wanderer?
Yes, I am.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be talking about a book he's written called A.M. Church Comes Out: The U.S. Bishops, Pedophile Scandals, and the Homosexual Agenda. And for our listeners, Paul is certainly a Catholic. I'm sure he's dedicated to the Catholic faith. But he's very, very upset what's going on in the church. Would that be an understatement?
Well, I try to be a faithful Catholic, and yes, I've been writing about what's going on today, you know, for just about 20 years now, and so...
But, of course, this has been going on a lot longer than 20 years. In your book, you talk about how some of the fathers were talking back in 1957 and writing about the homosexual cells that were in certain of the archdiocese and the bishops that were encouraging this, that were involved in frank homosexuality and recruiting people into the priesthood who themselves were homosexual.
That's the story, yes. It goes back a long time. My book doesn't go back into the ancient history, but certainly the situation in the United States has been festering, I would guess, since at least the 1920s, maybe 1900.
And, of course, along with this, of course, seems to be an attack on the very precepts of the Catholic faith.
Absolutely.
In fact, not only the Catholic faith, but the Christian faith, which is was the foundation of the Catholicism.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The the story of my book, if that's what you want me to approach.
I sure do. I want you to just go ahead and talk, and I'll be quiet if you'll do the talking.
Am Church Comes Out is basically a my education as a Catholic journalist. My education began with the pontificate of John Paul II, and I've always been a loyal supporter of the Pope. I consider myself as number one fan, but in the experience I had in the Catholic bureaucracy and the Catholic press, and then working for the Catholic press, is that probably by the late 1950s, the church had become maybe not dominated but controlled by homosexuals who had a broad sexual liberation agenda.
I mean, they were that powerful then that they were really able to determine part of the agenda of the Catholic Church itself at the highest levels?
No, I think they controlled the... They became controllers of the, what the Marxists would call the switching points of the church establishment. They got control of the colleges, the seminaries, the diocesan bureaucracies, and certainly the national bureaucracy.
And did they have to have the full support of some of the cardinals as well?
I don't think so. I think what happened in America was pretty much a homegrown phenomena.
What about Bernardine and Law and people like that? Did they know what was going on?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Lacoutis. We're going to be talking about the book A.M. Church Comes Out, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Paul Lacoutis, who's a writer for The Wanderer, which is a conservative Catholic newspaper, and he has written a book going into the background of the bishops and the pedophile scandals and the homosexual agenda within the Catholic Church. And, of course, he's writing from a Catholic perspective. So, Paul, you pick up the story there.
Well, there's so many angles of it.
Well, you pick up, just when did it really begin? You start out talking about how back in the 1957, 1960, one of the priests was writing and saying, you can't protect these people. I mean, the pedophiles, when they've been, they're pedophiles in the church, they're going to destroy the church. You can't put these people into some nice home, and they just cannot be allowed to continue doing what they're doing.
He proposed putting them on a very isolated island out in the Caribbean or the Pacific, where they would be cared for and where there could be no harm to other people.
And he was talking about the pedophile priests who were prevalent even at that time.
Yes. I think, Dr. Monteith, I could tell by the introduction of your program that you're part of the reality-based community. I think if anybody really wants to understand what is happening in the Catholic Church, particularly in the priest abuse scandal department, what they really have to understand is the absolutely catastrophic, traumatic, psychological harm caused by the First World War, the Great Depression, and then the Second World War. Those were three very, very, very family-disrupting events. And you have a situation where you have too many fatherless boys, you have too many mothers who don't know what to do with their children, you have too many damaged, wounded fathers, or fathers that didn't come back from the wars, or fathers that didn't come back from job hunting during the Great Depression. And you combine this with basically a thriving church that from all exterior appearances appeared very strong, very vital, was a great consolation to the people, and so on and so forth. And I think that in the 20s and the 30s, as part of the worldwide Bolshevik Revolution, you had people, who were committed communists.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with the rest of our stations here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Paul Lacoutis is a writer for The Wanderer, and he's, of course, has written a wonderful book on the AM Church, comes out. And he was pointing out that if you want to understand what's going on today, you have to go back to the First World War and then the Great Depression and the Second World War and how this began to disrupt the family. And we had so many boys without a father, without a father figure there. And you had so many fathers who maybe did come home, but psychologically they were never quite the same. And they couldn't assume the masculine role in these families. So pick up the story there, Paul.
I think what happened, from there, and this is really well documented, and I don't just mean in, conspiracy theory literature, I mean in real solid scholarship. You had a network of hardcore committed Bolsheviks, communists, who were determined and who did, in fact, take over all the major institutions in the Western world. We're talking art museums, we're talking newspapers, magazines, we're talking the churches. We're talking academia, and part of the project was to get hardcore committed believers into seminaries. And one of the things that was figured out very early, primarily in Germany in the 20s, was the effect of sexual abuse and sexual liberation in destroying Catholicism, the Catholic Church. And that, of course, is always the number one goal of the revolutionaries. And so you have people who go into the church and they're very bright, exceptionally bright, brilliant, and they work their way through the system, they rise to positions, and on the way they are abusing people, knowing full well that they can, they will be able to manipulate them through the rest of their careers. In other words, you're talking about the grooming phenomenon.
All right, so you think that this was done very intentionally and very purposely, and that there was a vast subversive effort to undermine the very fabric and foundation of the Catholic Church.
Right, I do believe that. And I think one of the... when I started out as a journalist with The Wanderer in the mid-80s, you know, and I was getting all of this information from around the country before it was being widely publicized, you know, information from lawyers, information from parents, information from victims, so on and so forth. I really thought that if I brought these matters to the attention of church officials, you know, they would solve the problem. And instead what I found out is over the, you know, almost 20 years, that I was publicizing these things, you know, before, you know, the scandal broke in the Boston Globe and so on, that, you know, the problem could be solved in-house. But instead I found myself, and the newspaper I write for, you know, the subject of the vilification campaign.
In other words, rather than wanting to solve the problem, they attacked you. If you don't like the message, you attack and demonize the messenger, and you were the messenger, and they wanted to make your life miserable because you were bringing out the truth.
Absolutely. And they did that in the form of lawsuits and threats of lawsuits and that type of business. And then every time a lawsuit would be filed, and we would show ourselves determined to fight it, and proceed with a vigorous discovery, the lawsuits would be dropped.
And, of course, these are standard techniques. They have been used for a long time to silence dissent, to use our legal system. And, of course, the only way you can stop that is to countersue, and then the other side just disappears. But, of course, they've made your life miserable. And by putting you on the defensive, after a while you get almost afraid to take a stand.
That's part of the program.
It's extremely
debilitating.
But, of course, now that the truth has come out, and we're talking about billions of dollars of lawsuits that the Catholic Church is going to have to pay out all across the United States, this is going to shake the very foundation of the Church in this country. And what effect is it having not only on the boys whose lives have been ruined, but upon the faith of the Catholic people who have looked to the Church for leadership and suddenly find out that there's tremendous corruption in this structure that they have put their faith in?
I don't know what's happening. I'll tell you, I'm not convinced the bishops understand the gravity of the situation they're in. I'm really concerned about things that are going on in, you know, the different dioceses, and there are bound to be more that are filing bankruptcy, where judges have the power to basically liquidate all church property. And We're running into really dicey times. But on the other hand, I think that this may all be part of the agenda of the people that have been running the church. You know, as frightening as that may sound to some, there are some people who would really like the church to come under complete and total state control. They want to be an arm of the state. They want to be an agent of the state. They don't want to be independent.
Well, of course, what you're describing is what exists in the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia today, where so many of the priests there are actually first recruited into the KGB, then they go into the priesthood.
Right. Yeah. That is the situation. And, you know, 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical on, you know, condemning Americanism, the whole idea that the church can be a partner with the state. Well, we're in a situation now where the church might become, you know, totally subordinate and under control of the state, especially when you have dioceses that go under the control of bankruptcy judges who control everything, you know, just like they would any business that goes bankrupt.
Well, of course, the thing that we see is the fact that the church and high officials in the church knew about the pedophilia, and instead of turning those priests over to the authorities so they could be punished, They just moved him to a different area where they could continue the pedophilia. That is unconscionable.
Absolutely. And what I learned and what I tell in great detail in the book is the fact that there were some bishops, probably not a great many, in the 50s, who knew that they had extraordinarily troubled people on their hands and would send them around to different dioceses or try to get them in religious orders or whatever. And I think the reason there was so much silence is because the bishops were moving around people that they may have abused or that they knew were abused by people they knew.
In other words, they were really covering for themselves. They didn't want this to come out because it would expose them or their close friends.
Right.
And now you have
one thing you have to consider, you know, in the broader picture of things is that, you know, in the days, years before people said words like homosexual in public, if a man described another man as a vicious man, vicious was sort of synonymous with, you know, a homosexual predator. People didn't want to say the word because people would be ashamed of saying it. And you have in the, you know, in the homosexual hierarchy, whether it's in the church or whether it's in banking or whether it's in politics, you have extraordinarily vicious people.
Now, of course, some of the people are vicious. I mean, many homosexuals are, you know, warm, congenial, but there certainly are vicious people there.
No, I'm just saying that there certainly are people there. I mean, you think about abuse. You know, Congressman Barney Frank is a vicious person. You know, he had a lover who was running a homosexual callboy service out of his apartment.
Out of Barney Frank's, Congressman Barney Frank's office.
And you have another congressman, Gary Studs, who's caught sodomizing a 14-year-old in a, you know, Capitol Hill washroom. And, you know, these are things that just happen.
Now, where is the rest of Congress? So, certainly, you would think that they would have too much pride in their organization to tolerate that sort of activity among their members, and yet...
they do tolerate it.
They do tolerate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the same thing goes on in all types of businesses.
Well, you in your book, you talk about how in certain of the dioceses, they were actively encouraging homosexuals to go into the priesthood.
Yeah, that's part of the story, yeah.
Well, it's really such an incredible story. It must have been very difficult for you to get all this information together and then try to put it in a book form.
Well, I had an instinct that in August of 2001, I had a feeling that the whole thing was going to break, and I decided to put all these articles that I'd written over the previous 15 or 17 years together, and the book... book came out just as the scandal broke. You know, there's a whole other interesting side of the story. You know, as a Catholic journalist who's been covering the bishops' meetings since 1990, the annual meetings in Washington, I thought I'd become, you know, friendly, you know, with all the other reporters who are covering the meeting. You know, the reporters from the major newspapers, you know, New York Times, L.A. Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Boston Globe, Washington Post. In fact, I know about a half dozen reporters at the Washington Post. And when the book came out, I gave all of these reporters, in some cases, like the AP reporter, Dallas Morning News, a few others, I gave them advance copies of the book. And so far, there's not one newspaper in this country who has reviewed or reported on the book, or even mentioned it.
Well, I'm not in the least bit surprised knowing what I know about the media. And even if the reporter wanted to, there might very well be somebody in the editorial staff who would, of course, squelch that. Or we're going to be back here in just a few moments, Paul. And, of course, we're going to open up our lines. If you're out in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest.
very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Lacoutis. His book is called AmChurch, Coming Out. How can people get copies of your book?
Right now, it's available through Roman Catholic Faithful, who are the publishers. And you can call them at 217-632-5920. Or you can order it online at www.rcf.org.
All right, fine. Give that telephone number again. You always have to repeat it twice.
Okay, 217-632-5920.
All right, fine. And we've got Nan from Marina. Go ahead, Nan. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I was wondering if he had discovered anything about the Catholic chaplains in the military.
Now, do you know anything at all about that subject at all?
Yes, I do. One of the major characters in the Koss affair in Dallas, there were a number of priests involved, a fellow named, I think it was Peebles. It's been a while since I've written about it. But he was a priest in the diocese, and he was causing a lot of trouble. And the bishop in Dallas had to get him out of town. He got him a position at in a military chaplaincy. And while he was in the chaplaincy, he abused the son of a high-ranking officer, young boy. And he was arrested and he was charged. And he was never punished. He was allowed out of the brig, and he went to Tulane University and got a law degree. I did a lot of research in that case. I was very involved at the time with the lawyer who was representing the plaintiffs. And I talked to a number of people who were pretty high up in the military establishment. And they said that the only way that Father Peebles could get out of the brig and face, you know, basically life in prison at Leavenworth was if the orders came directly from the Oval Office.
So I think we got a real problem, Nan, and this is the tragedy. And it's not just in the Catholic Church. We have this in the Protestant Church as well, but it's certainly much more dramatic here. But there is an effort to undermine and destroy the Catholic Church. There's an effort to undermine and destroy the Protestant Church, and there are powerful spiritual forces involved in this obsession. And this is, I think, what people realize is the spiritual implications of what's happening and what drives these people to do things that in their heart they know are wrong.
But I would also tell your caller that though there have been instances like this in the military chaplaincy, as a whole, the military chaplaincy is pretty solid.
All right. That I
in
hope
fact,
that
a lot of the people, a lot of the good priests working in the military chaplaincy, as a matter of fact, are good priests who were basically exiled by their bishops because they wouldn't go along with certain things, and their bishop would basically deprive them of a living. And the only place these priests could go would be the chaplaincy. So I would say that overall, the chaplaincy is very strong.
All right, Nan, do you have anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, just maybe something about this place in Arizona that I heard about where they were sending the priests.
New Mexico.
Was it New Mexico?
Right, the service.
Yes, okay. I know it was in the Southwest. And, of course, this was, I don't know, well, exactly how long ago it stopped, but once, of course, the lawsuit started, they couldn't hide them away anymore.
Well, let's go ahead. What's the background? Because you cover that in your book.
Well, the background is that the Servants of the Paraclete were founded by a very, very good Boston priest with the permission and the support of the late Cardinal Cushing to establish a retreat center for priests with problems, primarily alcohol. And he founded the Servants of the Paraclete back in the middle to late 50s. And the all of a sudden, he found out that bishops were sending a number of priests there with serious sex problems.
And pedophiles,
and,
basically.
And this priest wrote to the bishops, and he said, you know, we can't take these men. We don't want these men. They'll destroy the whole mission. And what happened eventually is that the Servants of the Paraclete got taken over by these priests with sexual problems.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm.
And they had a number of centers, New Mexico, St. Louis, and I think they had some abroad in Europe. And the homosexuals basically took over these centers and gave a new form of therapy, which was very popular.
Hold that thought right there.
fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Paul Lacoutis, his book, The AM Church, and of course, if you want to get it, it's the telephone number is 217-632-5920. And now, Paul, you were saying something before I so rudely interrupted you.
Talking about the servants of the Paraclete?
Right. And well, you commented how they've really been taken over there completely.
Well, what happened is, you know, in that period of time, in the early 60s, you had the start of a sexual revolution.
Right.
People have been trained for, 10, 15, 20 years in the idea of sexual liberation. And the idea is that, through any type of sexual activity is fine with whomever, no matter how old they are, and it's, liberating. And, this was very popular in academia. Hollywood was starting to show it, and people writing novels about it, and it was a very prevalent view. People who were going to the best universities were learning it, Harvard and Yale and so on, UCLA, Berkeley, and you had this idea that any type of sexual activity was a liberating experience. Well, you have people going to these troubled priests, going to these centers, and the experts who were treating them have these ideas. So instead of telling them to get it under control, they're telling them to go for newer experiences.
And
what happened in the church is just a reflection of what happened in the broader culture. That's the sad story, because the church is supposed to be different, but too many people in the church had an inferiority complex about modern science.
All right, fine. Nan, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Let's go to John calling from Tennessee. Hi, John. Did you have a question?
Short comment and a question.
All right, fine.
The media reports on of course, pedophiles in the Catholic Church and homosexuals in the Protestant Church, like Paul Crouch and Jim Baker. But the media never mentions that during the circumcision surgery, Jewish rabbis use their mouth in what you might call an oral surgical procedure to suck the blood from the incision.
John, I really don't believe that's accurate at all. But right now, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Go ahead, Roger. Roger, are you there? Well, I guess we lost Roger. Roger, all right. So, anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Paul Lacoutis, his book, Am Church, comes out. So, and really what we're seeing really is a problem that is really rocking the church, may very well bankrupt the American church. They're having actually to sell a lot of their property to meet all these lawsuits, aren't they?
I think it's a very serious problem.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Well, what response do you think that the new administration in Rome is going to have? Have they taken a really strong position and said, we're not going to put up with this anymore?
I think that there is probably no one more informed in the entire world than the new Pope because of his job, you know, at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He's certainly aware of the problem. I'm sure it's probably number one on his agenda, at least in terms of the U.S. Church. But, you know, I don't know if there's any short-term solution.
Well, why can't they
just... You're dealing with really systemic failure.
Why can't you just simply retire the cardinals who will not take a position of leadership and retire the bishops who will not take a position of leadership? And because you don't have a strong leadership in an organization.
Well,
the organization just crumbles.
You have too many people who are compromised, first of all. You have the, the reality of blackmail. But the other problem is that you have so many people in working in chanceries, working in schools, working in colleges and universities, even heading universities. You have people in the media who are very, very sympathetic to the homosexual agenda in the church that you have a real possibility that the U.S. church just might decide to break away from Rome. Or you have people who will say, you have 65 million Catholic people, most of whom are very, very uninformed about what is going on in the church, what is going on in society. And these people are very, very persuadable. And when you have the media ganging up on the church as it does, they're not only driving people out of the church, but they're also creating a lot of people who say, well, gee, what is wrong with birth control? What is wrong with homosexual activity? What is wrong with gay marriage? You know, the church has ought to, step up to modern times and, go with the flow. And that's a real problem.
Well, I think that what's wrong with it is that it's against God's law. And it's great tragedy is today. Nobody wants to say that. Well, let's go to Roger. Go ahead. Did you have something you wanted to say before we put our next caller on?
Well, I just wanted to say, one thing that I'm really starting to think a lot about is the whole phenomenon of the... for 20 years, I've been writing about this stuff, and for 20 years, I know the people at all the major newspapers were reading The Wanderer. And they knew that these stories were going on. And I think it's very, very peculiar that all of these, that the media, the mediarchy, started pursuing the sex abuse scandal in the church just at the time that the Holy Father and, prominent Roman cardinals were trying to mobilize the Catholic people against the war.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Roger from Allentown. Hi, Roger. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. But by the way, I think that throughout the last 20 to 40 years and more, including through to today, that the media has given a relative pass to the Roman Catholic Church in a way that they never would think to do for Protestantism. Including with the sex scandals.
Well, of course, they seem to really feast on the Jimmy Baker scandal, and then they feasted on the Jimmy Swaggart scandal. They have, of course, given Paul Crouch pretty much a fair pass, however. But go ahead, Roger. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, okay. Now, I did want to ask, in as much as current Pope Benedict Ratzinger has reported, intercepted at least one of his... acquired at least one of the letters he sent out to American churches inviting them to submit the names of the troublesome clerics to the Vatican to see if they may be safely salted away from prosecutions, etc., in the Vatican.
Now, do you know anything at all about that, Paul?
No, I really don't.
And I doubt very much that they're going to hide them in the Vatican to prevent prosecution.
Well, that was his offer to submit their names to see if they might be kept at the Vatican. Now, locally here...
Wait a minute. But if Paul, who writes for the Wanderer, has never even heard of this letter you're referring to, so I wonder if that might be simply propaganda you're talking about, Roger.
No, Tex Mars had acquired a copy of that letter as well.
All right, fine. Well, Paul, let's see. Paul, you've never heard at all about this?
No, and I don't think it's true.
All right, fine. Thanks. Anything else, Roger?
Well, locally, of course, they keep the homosexual priest locked away in a locked cloister so they lead the contemplative life. In other words, they don't trust them to get off the grounds of the cloister.
I don't know about that either. Well, how do you? I've never heard of them locking them up. Have you at all, Paul? See, there's so much information out there that I think is... frank disinformation. How are they dealing with the homosexual priests at the present time?
Well, some of them are in jail.
Now, of course,
some of them have been laicized, and they're out in the world doing whatever they're doing. Some are being taken care of in, treatment centers or retreat houses.
Now, are these pedophiles or are these homosexual priests? How do you differentiate between them?
I think that probably most of the people who have been convicted of pedophilia are in prison.
All right.
So there may be some who aren't, but I really don't know.
All right, fine. So, of course, my concern is the impact on the general community and on the certainly on the Catholic faithful.
Well, it's been very demoralizing.
And hasn't it really cut back tremendously on contributions to the church and, funding that, the church is dependent upon just to keep going?
I think probably funding has not been hurt that much. I mean, it's probably proportionate with the mass attendance, which I don't think has dropped significantly since the scandals broke. And there's been some attrition, but I don't think it's been... I don't think it's been massive.
All right. What needs to be done? What do you think? If you were in charge, if you were Pope Benedict the 17th, what would you do?
resign. Retire. It's a thicket. It's a huge, enormous problem. I don't know. I mean, as a believing Catholic, I believe that God runs the church. And he allows things to happen. And in the end, the church is stronger. I'm confident. I think, today's scandal is different because you have a mass media and you have propaganda on a massive scale. But I also think that in terms of decadence and moral depravity, there were other periods in church history that may even have been worse than what we're dealing with now. I think pre-revolutionary France, there were some, terrible problems. I think in pre-Reformation Europe, there were some terrible problems. I mean, one of the main reasons for the Council of Trent was to tighten clerical discipline, because things had just gotten out of control.
Well, do you think that it will be another Council of Trent in the near future when they are going to reassert? Of course, one of the purposes of the Council of Trent was to say, this is what we believe in, you know. So how do we address the threat
of
the Protestant Reformation?
I think that John Paul II left the Church a tremendous legacy. And Benedict XVI has already made it clear that there's no need for a Vatican III. What we need to do is do Vatican II. And John Paul II, over the course of his magnificent pontificate, left all of the basic sources for renewal. You know, his documents on seminary training, which have been routinely ignored in the United States for more than 20 years. His documents on, you know, the responsibilities and the roles of priests and bishops. His documents on the renewal of religious life. You know, his documents on the renewal of family life and so on and so forth. All of these documents need to be implemented, you know, where the case demands it, or, you know, studied and lived.
But, of course, they really weren't widely circulated or applied here in the United States, were they?
No, not at all. No. Well, that's the great tragedy of John Paul II's pontificate, is that most Americans, Catholics and non-Catholics, you know, sleptwalk through it. I mean, everybody in the world had a magnificent opportunity to learn what the Church teaches and what it stands for. I think John Paul II is the most magnificent teacher of the last 10 centuries. And all people need to do is read what he wrote and, you know, take it to your heart and try to live it. And the world would be a much, much better place, and the Church would be a real beacon to humanity, which is what it's supposed to be.
But, of course, the big problem is that you can write all you want to, unless you can get that disseminated, unless you can get people to read it, unless it can have an impact on society. It's like a bell ringing in a desert. It really doesn't have the influence. So,
well, let me give you an example. You know, in 1980 and 81, the Pope issued two documents on seminary training. One was on you know, basically seminary life, and the other was on educational formation. And these documents, for example, the one on formation called for the study of, you know, intensive study of Latin and Greek, intensive study of the Church Fathers, intensive liturgical life, you know, with your, you know, hourly prayers and your chanting and so on and so forth. I don't know if there is a, well, there might be two. There are probably two seminaries in the country that adopted those norms. All the others were dominated by, you know, the homosexual elite, you know, who didn't want to follow that agenda. They wanted to go through with the, you know, the living is easy and the pop tunes and lax academic standards. You know, the whole, you know, modern touchy-feely psychology form of priestly training.
But if those people will be the priests for the next 40 years once they graduate from those seminaries.
Well, a lot of the people who went through those seminaries did what they had to do to get through, and they followed the Pope's agenda. For example, Father Wilson, who wrote the introduction to my book, you know, who studied in Dallas, you know, at a time when it was a very, very corrupt seminary, but he's a very, very solid priest. You know, and I think that Catholics should really be confident that John Paul II is going to have an enormous impact on culture. He touched the hearts and the lives of millions upon millions and millions of people. And he really formed them in what it means to be a Catholic. And so I think that, you know, these things are always sort of subterranean. You know, they're a seed underground, but when they bloom, you know, they're going to bloom gloriously.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. And anyway, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Again, our guest has been Paul Lacoutis. His book, AM Church, comes out. Would you like to go ahead and get your telephone number and the website out just one more time?
Okay, the website is www.rcf.org, and the phone number is 217-632-5920.
All right, fine. Well, Paul, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Doctor, thank you so much for inviting me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, I guess it's been Paul Lacoutis, and, of course, we're talking about his book of A.M. Church, and it really goes into the background a great deal. The capturing, in many respects, of the Catholic Church here, at least many of the positions of authority in the Church by the homosexuals, who had an agenda, and that was to transform the Catholic Church. But unless you understand the spiritual forces that motivate many of these people, and many homosexuals are very nice people, but the leadership has an agenda. And part of that was destroy Christendom, both the Catholic and the Protestant.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
...50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and really to understand what we're talking about, you must understand the spiritual battle that is going on for the hearts of men and the survival of Western civilization. And if you have not yet seen our four-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance, if you have not seen our four-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends, we are carrying now a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. The book was actually written 23 years ago, something like that. And she was a medium. She was deeply involved in contacting the other side. Fascinating interviews. And we'll be putting together a four-tape set with two interviews, 2 hours with Johanna Michelson, and 2 hours with Craig Heimlichner going into the background of Aleister Crowley. That will be an excellent four-tape set and will be available here in the next couple of weeks. But right now we already have a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends, and certainly one of the most powerful men in the world prior to the time that he died. He was a British intelligence agent, and of course so many of the people involved in the occult are involved with the intelligence or with the upper echelons of government, and so many people in the White House have been involved with spiritualism. I was just reading about Abraham Lincoln's wife. She was deeply involved in spiritualism. Of course, Nancy Reagan was into astrology. Hillary Clinton was into spiritualism. She was calling Jean Houston in to actually conjure up the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. So we have this as a problem, a very real problem, with the people in the highest levels of our government trying to contact the other dimension. Well, you really need to get our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions, and of course at least two of those are available on DVD. They sold their souls for rock and roll. You must understand there is a spiritual force out there, which people do not understand is the major driving force behind so much of what's going on politically and culturally and ideologically today. Now, I remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then I want to tell you, we have an opportunity to get our program onto 18 other radio stations. That would be the evening program, which we run from 8 to 10 here, and which is already heard on 12 stations, but we can expand that by an additional 18, which would give us a tremendous outreach across America. But quite frankly, we need help to do that. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to help as we expand our evening program, it would only be an hour a night, but it would reach literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I do talk radio 5 hours a day because I think it's the only way we have of reaching large numbers of people in the time we have left. So if you'd like to give us a hand, and of course if you decide to make a donation or agree to perhaps a pledge of some sort, why, certainly just let us know. It is specifically to expand our radio ministry. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the internet, where you can actually learn how to link to the other networks, or where you can hear our program 5 hours a day, where you can pull down our newsletters, and we encourage you to pull down those newsletters and read them. We've actually taken, I think, 5 of my newsletters and put it into a book. It's called A History of Money. It's only $3.95. It's A History of Money. Gives you the information you need to understand what's happening economically. And then let me suggest that you get the new DVD we have, The Coming Financial Crisis. That's The Coming Financial Crisis. All available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or if you prefer, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we really are at war today. America, our future, our family, our freedom are under attack. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.